Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Can I change the subject?
Have that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
How much can I follow in sports? I'm supposed to know who's on drink? This is crazy. Valparaiso. I know names on Valparaiso.
Today's guests, senior MLB writer for The Athletic, Andy McCullough. Oakland guard, Jack Golke. Michigan running back, Blake Corum. Actor and producer Ty Sheridan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, still having echoes of our fun final hour of Thursday's show of Larry David's outstanding all-time great appearance on this program that you can catch on the Roku channel Rich Eisen Show collection page or our YouTube page if you missed it. We're thrilled to be back here on this Friday with tons of March Madness to talk about the madness of what's going on with Shohei Ohtani or not. We'll hit on that subject matter. There is a pro day at my institution of higher learning that I adore and ride or die for at the University of Michigan. 18 combine prospects, over 150 head coaches, and scouts are there. It is a record for a pro day. Blake Corum will be joining us from the University of Michigan once his workout is done. That's in the third hour. Ty Sheridan, the actor, a lot of folks may know from Ready Player One. He will be hanging out here in studio with us at that time. And then the star of the show of March Madness Day One, Jack Golke of the Oakland Golden Grizzlies, who bounced Kentucky. He'll be joining us in the second hour of this show. Good to see you over there, Christopher. Hey. Brockman, how are you?
I like that. Golke hit him with the MJ shrug last
Dude,
night.
He, when he's banking him in, that's what you got to do.
I mean, it was amazing.
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts. Good to see you,
good
sir.
Good morning, Rich.
Good to see you. The Latte Larry Cup David signed for you, I am glad it's positioned like that because he called you a curse word when he signed that cup.
Yes.
Very good.
Wow.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. How are you, sir?
Still reminiscing over yesterday, man.
That was fun.
That was an all-timer. Just
that was great.
Amazing.
My side's still hurting from that one.
And then the madness of last night.
I know.
Great day.
Right? And I guess let's start that way. This is how we'll start. Larry David, when he was here, is talking about his brackets. That kind of went a little viral.
Drake!
If I'm not mistaken, it showed up on the Today Show today, and we appreciate
really?
Carson Daly for throwing that out there. Yeah, yeah.
Valparaiso!
He's just like, I'm supposed to know who's on Drake?
Drake!
And I guess you could just fill in the blank. You're supposed to know who's on Oakland? You're supposed to know who's on the Golden Grizzlies? You're supposed to know who Jack Golke is?
In all seriousness,
I mean, it probably took a few Golke threes for folks to realize that Oakland is not from Northern California.
No.
They're from Rochester, Michigan. And that's who wound up showing up last night in the first round. You know, Pittsburgh, PA is a drive from, you know, suburban Detroit. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of Oakland, you know, Golden Grizzly fans showed up and they started getting loud and they couldn't believe what they were seeing. And in case you're just wondering what the hell hit Kentucky, it is a blizzard of threes from a handful of players, but mostly the guy on your screen right here, Jack Golke, who's got his tongue out and he was, you know, putting his guns in his holster, and then he was Michael Jordan shrugging. And why not? Because the threes that he was throwing in were like off of screens that he had no business firing away, because he's going against the grain. He's trying to avoid somebody who was flying off a screen and in his face, and they were dropping. Half of them were dropping. And when I say half of them were dropping, he threw 20 threes at the hoop last night, and 10 of them hit. 7 of them in the first half. And in case you're wondering, you know, if that's part and parcel of Jack Gaulke, well, you know, let's tell you who he is. He's a 24-year-old from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. If that location sounds familiar to you, it's because he went to Pewaukee High School, the same high school of the Watt family. And his performance last night caught the attention of J.J. Watt, who tweeted in Gaulke's direction with a photograph of Gaulke, I guess, back in his high school days as a Pewaukee Pirate in 2016. And Watt, who's, I guess, out there for his soccer team, says, woke up in London to see that a kid from Pewaukee torched Kentucky to lead Oakland in Rochester, Michigan, he puts in parentheses, in a massive 14-3 first-round March Madness upset. Hell of a performance. And then he added, Jack, doing the hometown proud, hashtag pirate pride, because they're the Pirates, the Pewaukee Pirates. And, you know, if you want to look up who Jack Gaulke is, normally you'll see a 247 sports profile from his high school days to see how good he was there and who might have been knocking on his door. The answer is from Division I, nobody. Nobody knocked on his door. If you're looking for his 247 sports profile, you won't find it. It doesn't exist. He wound up going to Division II Hillsdale College, also in the state of Michigan. And in case you're wondering how he did there in Hillsdale, go to his collegesportsreference.com page, and you don't know. They don't have the stats from Hillsdale.
Are we saying he never played? Is that what this is?
No, you could see that he was there, and he redshirted in his first season of 2018-19, but the next four seasons, they don't have the numbers. No. Then you see him there when he went to Oakland. The numbers are there from Oakland. They kind of put him on the radar screen there. But you can also see he's been at it 6 years.
That's crazy.
And apparently when he was in Hillsdale College, to make ends meet after games, he would hop in a car and had every rideshare app at his disposal for him to perform the duties of a driver, Lyft, Uber, all of them. And he would drive around, and he'd go to other colleges, college towns.
So he would drive people home from the game that he was playing in.
Well, I don't know if he did that. We can ask him when he joins us an hour or two.
That would be amazing.
But this is what he's doing. And then he decides to give it one shot elsewhere. And the only program, D1 program, that said come here was Oakland. And boy, did he go there. Yep. And taking a look inside the stats to see, finally, 10 of 20 from three. And by the way, no 2-point shots.
None.
At all.
He's allergic to
them.
He
is not going to trifle with such things inside the arc. Get out of here.
It's too close.
He, on the season, looking at the stats we know about, attempted 347 threes and made 131 of them. And of the 2-point variety, he attempted the grand total of 8 of them.
How is that even possible?
2-pointers.
This guy is my spirit animal.
So he's definitely not cherry picking.
8 2-pointers made for him, shooting 50% from the floor inside the arc.
Gaulke.
I love this guy.
As does most of America now.
Even though, sir, I had Kentucky to win the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it'll be interesting. That? It's so rare for you to personally meet your bracket buster.
Yeah, exactly.
As you will in hour two.
I love it.
But as soon as he did this and I learned about him, and thankfully our booking staff top notch, I'm like, bring me Jack Golke. And here's what's so great about March Madness. The second round game to advance to the regional semifinal in the South region is 11th seeded NC State, which, as we all know, went on a run in the ACC tournament. And they have their own new favorite player of America.
And mine.
You love this kid, right?
Oh, he's my new favorite guy.
J.C. Brand. J.C. Burns.
D.J. Burns.
Jesus. D.J. Burns.
Start over, Rich.
There's a lot of names we weren't familiar with until about 3:30 yesterday.
The crazy thing is honest, I saw the kid play in the ACC tournament, and I was with a buddy of mine who was, a Virginia Cavalier grad, and he's just like, this isn't fair.
Rich, you're not supposed to know who plays on NC State. How could you?
I should know.
But the crazy thing is I've watched him play, and we talked about him before the game, before the show. But at any rate, this is a team that's on its own magical run and is an institution that is synonymous with magical runs in this tournament.
The most magical run.
NC State versus Oakland. D.J. Burns v. Jack Golke, the guy who lives inside the paint versus the guy who doesn't
venture.
He probably doesn't use paint. His house probably has siding. There's no paint. He knows nothing from paint.
Rich, you know the funny thing about this Oakland thing, too, real quick? They didn't mention the whole thing. Oakland, if you think is in California, it's not. It's in Michigan. They played the game in Pittsburgh at the Pitt campus. The Pitt campus is located in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh. That was never mentioned yesterday whatsoever. So that in itself is incredible.
Needed somebody with inside knowledge right there.
East Coaster. That knows.
East Coast knowledge.
That knows, yeah. Yes, that's East Coast.
But that's what this is all about, isn't it? That's what this is all about, is a team from Oakland featuring a kid that nobody had ever heard of outside of Pewaukee and Hillsdale and, Oakland, Rochester, Michigan, or anybody else who might have been driven by him over the last five some odd years. Just lighten it up. And as you called him, Chris, like, that's my spirit animal. So many people in rec leagues and who just shoot the minute they enter the gym. Like,
I've been
way to go.
I've been cosplaying this dude my entire basketball career.
And he didn't start. He got in the game at the 15:55 mark of the first half, missed his first two threes. Missed his first two. And then I've got him written down here. His first three gave the team their first lead of the game, 8-7. His second three gave Oakland their second lead of the game. His third three gave them another lead at 16-13. His fourth three gave Oakland their first two possession lead of the game at 19-13. And that's the first time you're going, oh, okay. Certainly since this guy is red hot, heat checking everywhere from any point on the floor, deep behind the three-point arc or coming off a screen right to his left, and then with an immense amount of momentum still taking him to his left, where I think he landed out of bounds past the baseline when he came off the screen at the top of the arc, it felt like. He throws that one in. He gave the team a second two-possession lead of the game. It's 22-17. At 4:49 left in the first half, he gave his team the lead again, 28-25. And then the seventh one where you're like, okay, this may just not be Kentucky's night, even though we're still in the first half. Down by two with a minute 55 left, he banked in a three. You could see Coach Cal on the Kentucky bench just throw his hands up. And that's what Golke did too. He gave sort of a Jordan-esque shrug. And you're like, uh-oh. Then he had three more threes in the second half, including his final one, giving them a two-possession lead at 67-62. He popped in two free throws when he was fouled on a three to give him a six-point lead. But DQ Cole was the one who threw in the most daggerish three after Kentucky made it a one-point game with a minute to go with 37 seconds left. This kid just splash one in from the corner. And then Kentucky was absolutely on its final throws. And then the final shot of the night was just a desperation down two possession anyway. And you know who grabbed the rebound to end it? Who had the ball in his hands with no time left was
Jack Golke. Can't make it up. Can't make it up. That's why we love this tournament.
Yep.
And, of course, whenever there's a Cinderella, there has to be, I guess, to mix metaphors, the giant that gets slayed. I guess if you're the David, there has to be the Goliath of this story. And the Goliath of this story, for the second time in 3 years, getting bounced out as it was a two-seed a couple of tournaments ago. And now as a three-seed, it's Kentucky. Again, Coach Cal. And I saw an interesting point from Jay Wright on the post-game where he said, in this day and age where kids are staying in college longer and you're taking on teams that have more veteran presences, and he ascribed it to NIL keeping kids in school where they're not going to leave to try and get a pro career that they're probably not going to go and make the same amount of money that they could make it with NIL. Clearly, Jack Golke's not, you know, maybe he can start making some NIL money. I'm hoping people are calling him up today, you know. So that said, he said that the way that Coach Cal's been going about his business, getting a ton of young players all together and getting them, you know, hopefully up to speed enough to win tournament games in a row and win the whole thing and cut down nets before you cut them loose and send them to the NBA where they're going to be outstanding. I mean, take a look at the NBA. There are Kentucky Wildcats from Coach Cal's program
everywhere.
Absolutely everywhere. And you want them, too, in the same way that, you know, the Eagles are all over Georgia Bulldogs, right?
Yeah, true.
Like,
true.
You, if you can get a Kentucky Wildcat, get him. So that's understood, but unfortunately for Kentucky, that doesn't work anymore. Jay Wright said basically that the one-and-done teams are dead. They're dead. Just that's not the way to go about it anymore. And he's wondering if Coach Cal might realize that and go in a different direction. And now there's even conversation that Kentucky might cut Coach Cal loose. Because, you know, blue blood programs aren't used to this sort of, in the same way that Jack Golke's your spirit animal and you still, you know, are rooting for a kid who just busted up your bracket. I'm sure Kentucky's like, we don't care about this Cinderella story.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is what Coach Cal had to say after the game.
This one hurt because they are the kind of team you love coaching. And, you know, I wanted them to advance because of all that they've been through. And I wanted them to have a chance to relish and cherish this event. I've been through it 20 some times. My teams have done really well. We've lost a couple of these now. But them, this is their time. We're better than we played, but you got to give Oakland credit. I mean, they out-rebounded. They got 16 offensive rebounds. Come on. One of them was late. Come on. I mean, we've had that issue, but, you know, there was some breakdown stuff, but, you know, we had our chances.
They did. And if you're going to give up offensive rebounds like that and have a kid like Golke go heat checking all over the place and throwing in 10 of 23s and then other players performing up to their speed and they believe. I mean, FAU just tipped off against Northwestern to start Friday's March Madness insanity. And FAU, as we all know, who the hell had them in the Final Four? Who had them? Right? And now all of a sudden, I'm looking at Florida Atlantic thinking maybe Northwestern could do Michigan a favor and bounce Dusty May right now so we can call him up. I'm serious. Like, that's the March Madness now. And Blue Bloods, as I told you yesterday, we went off the air. I'm like, 5-12? That's the old
hat.
Upset, you know, seeding matchup. Now I said, look out for 3-14. And three got by 14 out of Oakland, which, yes, folks, we all learned yesterday, isn't in Northern California. You know it now.
Is that school near Michigan?
It's
Ann Arbor?
It's close enough.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's close enough to drive your car there and start Ubering around. So, big week. Big week for upsets, man. Just got started. And it got started against Kentucky again. And you got to wonder if Coach Cal is going to start reconfiguring the way he builds a team. Because they got again. Jack Golke is going to join us top of hour number two. It's a What's More Likely Friday. We'll get that. Blake Corum, top of hour number three. The actor Ty Sheridan in studio, hour number three. But when we come back, we get the latest on whatever in the world is going on with Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter, and a gambling syndicate down here in Southern California that wound up with $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money in it, wired, as appears, personally by Shohei Ohtani to it. Andy McCullough of The Athletic, senior reporter who is on this, senior writer who is on this with Ken Rosenthal. He joins us next. 844-204-RICH if you want to have a chat.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So your bracket's no longer perfect. I got five wrong.
Yeah. I was crushing it before that.
By the way, I had Samford.
Oh, you got, they got so jobbed.
They got hosed.
So jobbed.
I had Samford over Kansas and was, I was monitoring the situation.
They got so jobbed.
They
man.
Did. That was a total, we'll talk about more of it later on. How many did you get wrong, TJ? Do you know? You haven't checked?
Double check my bracket.
What about you?
Four.
Okay.
Mike, 12-4. That's a good start.
That's not bad.
And Cooper was monitoring all night long. He was monitoring how many perfect brackets are remaining on the ESPN side of things. You know who's won?
I saw this.
Bijan Robinson.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Look at him. Look at Bijan.
16-0.
16-0, man.
16-0. Yeah,
16-0. Do you have that dropping?
No, I got rid of that. Yeah.
He has Texas winning it all. Nice. I mean, who knows?
I missed four yesterday.
That's great. Yeah, I missed five.
He's got Texas going the whole way. But for the moment, look out. Bijan is on Warren Buffett's radar screen right now, right?
Is that still a thing?
I think it is, isn't it?
Really? If you get a perfect
bracket.
Berkshire
Hathaway gives you a gajillion dollars?
$10 million or something.
I think so. Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I can't imagine he would stop doing that.
Yeah, it's not like you're giving it away every year.
See, this
or never.
See, he can score if you give him the opportunity. Are you holding on to Bijan in your league? In your keeper?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
16-0, man.
There he is.
He's like the second or third ranked player coming into the year. So.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Come on.
What, overall or running back?
Yeah, overall.
Come on. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
I got to see how things look before I go in that direction.
I agree.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. So call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Let's get the latest on whatever the heck's going on with Shohei Ohtani. Do you call it a scandal or it's a... It's an Ohtani. I think KO calls it either an Ohtani gambling scandal or an Ohtani adjacent gambling scandal.
Yeah. Either way, his name's getting attached.
His name is attached.
Yeah.
And so to discuss the latest on all of that, our friend for the first time from The Athletic joining us here, Andy McCulloch. How are you, Andy?
Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet, Andy. So let's get right to it. What is the latest, as far as you could tell, with the Shohei Ohtani gambling scandal that appears to
be? We're in a bit of a holding pattern, I think, and it might be in that sort of state for a little while, just because with the way that, you know, Major League Baseball is saying that, you know, Ohtani is not facing any sort of discipline. They're reticent to say he's, you know, even under investigation. I think, you know, based on there's competing narratives out there, right? The you know, terrific story from, you know, Tisha Thompson at ESPN from a couple days ago, you know, outlined two basically timelines presented by Ipe Mizuhara, who's Ohtani's interpreter, who, you know, sort of admitted to gambling with an illegal bookmaker in Southern California. And, the first version of the story, Ohtani paid off the debts, you know, basically as a favor. And in the second version of the story, a day later, Mizuhara recanted and basically said Ohtani knew nothing about any of it, wasn't aware it was, you know, of all of it. It's all his fault. And subsequently, Ohtani's camp, you know, said that Ohtani was a victim of massive theft. They're sort of moving forward and, you know, having, the federal authorities look into that. They haven't even said exactly which authority will be, you know, they're pursuing charges with, but they are made clear that they are pursuing charges against Mizuhara for the alleged theft. And so, you know, it's kind of going to grind on for a little bit while we kind of, there's just this weird sort of void of, no one really knows what's going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how would Ohtani face no discipline with $4.5 million of his dollars winding up in the hands of a Southern California illegal bookmaker under federal indictment? I guess the only way that I might have answered my own question that, to you, Andy, is that's where suddenly everyone in his camp says, no, forget everything that the interpreter told Tisha Thompson in his first interview. He's a thief. Is that the reasoning, do you think, behind the change in story?
I can't speak to that. I mean, that, you know, we can't explain why the story changed, but certainly the story changing is very interesting, to say the least. The reason that he is not considered under investigation is, you know, the way Major League Baseball has framed it is it's possible he's the victim of a massive theft, as he and his legal team are alleging. And so in that case, you know, you're investigating him for theoretically being the victim of a crime. But they're very clearly, you know, they're monitoring the situation. I think they're going to defer to, you know, the federal authorities in terms of looking into this and sort of getting to the bottom of it. But when you look at the first version of events that Mizuhara put forth, that Ohtani, you know, transferred the money to an illegal bookmaker, yes, that would certainly put him in Ohtani theoretically in some legal exposure in California, in addition to exposure to, you know, punishment of some form for Major League Baseball.
That was my question for you, is that the first version of events, the Tuesday story out of the interpreter, Ishe Mizuhara, that Ohtani was a good guy who helped him cover $4.5 million of debt, which was just a staggering amount of money, Andy, for somebody who supposedly made topped out at $500,000 in the year. Like it really is, for in terms of his own salary, that if that was in fact the story, is that Ohtani being open to suspension from Major League Baseball just because his money was in the hands of an illegal bookmaker, regardless of how it got there?
Right. Unclear if it would be a suspension. There is. So the way that Rule 21 works, which is sort of governs Major League Baseball's policy on gambling, is if there's a huge distinction of whether or not the bets were placed on baseball. Right. If you bet on a game that you're not involved with, it's a year long ban. If you bet in a game in which you are involved with, it's a permanent ban. And if you bet on if you place bets with an illegal bookmaker, you're subject to a sort of nebulous commissioner's discretion punishment. As of right now, there is no evidence, you know, that Ohtani bet on baseball. Mizuhara did say that in the account that he subsequently recanted, but he did say, you know, there's no one has come forth and said there's any evidence linking Ohtani or Mizuhara or anyone involved in this to betting on baseball. But that is the distinction, is like there's those three prongs of Rule 21. And if it is proven, and again, this is very speculative because Otani's camp is suggesting this is what did not happen, but if it is proven that he, you know, paid off debts with an illegal bookmaker, then it gets into a gray area of how do you interpret the third prong of Rule 21. You know, is paying off a debt the same as placing a bet, et cetera, et cetera. But it would put him in, you know, some sort of jeopardy there. The most recent precedent that the league office has pointed to is a player named Jared Cozart, who was fined in 2015 for placing some illegal bets on non-baseball, but that was, you know, a fine. This is obviously a much higher profile case, and I think there's a lot of confusion or at least speculation for people around the sport about why the league is not being more aggressive in saying that he's under investigation. Andy, their stance is that he says he's a victim of a crime. So we shall see.
Andy McCullough, the senior writer from The Athletic, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what are the Dodgers saying? What are you hearing out of that end of things right now?
They're not going to be commenting on this one, I think. I mean, it's a, you know, Ken Rosenthal and I had a, you know, piece up today, just kind of outlining all the unanswered questions. And part of it is because, you know, Otani did not speak after the game. You know, Mizuhara has not been available, you know, has not responded to requests for comment in the days subsequently to giving the two, you know, differing accounts to ESPN. You know, Nez Bilello, Otani's agent, has declined comment. Dodgers officials, you know, Stan Kasten and Andrew Friedman, declined comment. Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, you know, kind of has to go out there and talk because that's his job, is he has to talk to the media twice a day. But even he is kind of unable to get into the meat of it. As of right now, you know, the Dodgers are kind of just going to seem like they're going to try and roll through it and play with Otani as their DH. And, you know, I suspect that he will not be addressing this in any meaningful fashion. He's a very private person to begin with. You know, very reticent to reveal details of his personal life. And it's hard to imagine now is the time when he suddenly opts for transparency. But, you know, I was very surprised that, you know, Ipe Mizuhara gave that initial account to ESPN. So, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
So it's not a story I expected to be covering this week. I'll tell you that much.
Well, nobody did. That's why I'm asking about the Dodgers. They had no inkling, obviously. They must be stunned. They must be absolutely gobsmacked as to what's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, and one of the things, you know, Ken Rosenthal and I were writing about today is this is the sort of thing that the Dodgers should have known. Is it something that in their due diligence, should they have been aware that, you know, at the very least, Mizuhara was tied up with, a, you know, a Southern California legal bookmaker? Hard to know. I mean, I can sort of understand it both ways, that like, how would you, you know, get that versus, you know, that's the sort of thing that people talk about. It's a shocking sort of story for sure. And my understanding is the Dodgers were caught off guard by it.
I'm sure they were. I guess what would you vet the anyone in his circle? I mean, of course you're not doing that while you're battling the Blue Jays and everything else as you're trying to keep everybody, you know, under wraps, quiet, because any false move would blow the opportunity to get the greatest player that baseball has to offer internationally, nationally, for anybody that would cut through the noise in our sports world. For why would you think anything was up with this guy that was untoward? Yeah. Although, unless you're plugged into the gambling community, because that was the piece that kind of part of the piece in ESPN that shocked me. Is that the gambler in question, the bookie in question, didn't disabuse any of his clients of the notion that Otani was a client. So people had to be talking around these parts here.
Right. And that's the counter to your initial point is like, yes, obviously, what, you know, how do you find this out? It's like, well, this guy was letting people know, it appears, that, you know, he was taking bets from someone, you know, either Otani or someone representing Otani. That seems to be the way that, you know, that they presented it in the reporting from ESPN. And so, I can see it both ways. You can also argue, like, if you just hear, he's involved with a guy who's been gambling too much. It's like, well, okay, it's Shohei Ohtani. He's, you know, he's the modern day Babe Ruth. Like, that's a risk we can take. I suspect you were not imagining it to be a scandal of this magnitude.
And
it's still, you know, it's still so much that needs to like unfold. We just don't know what happened, you know, and it's really hard to get our arms around until you have a narrative that is sort of established as what actually happened here.
And you know, anybody that's sent money from their bank, you know, website, which is most anybody who has money in one of the major banks of the United States, which is maybe most everyone in the sound of our voices right now, Andy, knows mm-hmm. that if you send money, you're going to get like a code to your phone. You got to plug it in.
Right.
And, you know, I've never straight up wired the amount of money that Otani was wiring. I can only imagine the number of bank representatives right. that would have to be involved with a wire of this size. And by the way, if it was the same amount every time, that's nine times he sent this amount to the same guy, you know, the same individual. Wouldn't that set off an alarm bell somewhere? You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, your career seems like it's going better than mine. So you probably have more experience theoretically sending that sum of money, but
no.
So we're on the same page,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's another, you know, part of this story that sort of needs to be vetted out, right? Is because ESPN, you know, based on the reporting and bank documents they had, you know, Otani's name going to, you know, Matthew Bauer, the, you know, alleged bookmaker. And so how did that happen? How did the theft occur is something that is going to need, you know, if the theft occurred, how did it occur? How did you get past that sort of, you know, thing that we all know of just trying to transfer, you know, $500 from in between bank accounts, right? It's not the easiest thing in the world. So it's another thing that sort of needs to be vetted out and, you know, hopefully we'll have more clarity on it. But yes, you raise a great point that it's something that does not immediately pass the smell test, I guess.
And Andy McCullough here on the Rich Eisen Show from The Athletic, joining me here, the senior writer for baseball, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess we're going to find out just how well Otani can block out noise for the first time in his career. Negative noise, right? I mean, there's always been people pulling him in so many different mm-hmm. directions. I know he is active on Instagram, or he's out there and he'll see all the memes and all the jokes and the fact that there is yeah. a guy, and honestly, you know, a guy named Betts in front of him in the lineup, you know, and so
I hadn't thought about that.
It's all out there, Andy, you know,
yeah.
and so what the Dodgers, I guess, were the first ones to kind of keep the reporters at bay. What is next here? They've got a series with the Angels this weekend, don't they, for spring training before it all
yes,
starts?
Yes, yeah, the freeway series, yeah, and then spring training will, or excuse me, then the regular season will kick off later in the week. Yeah, it's going to be a circus. It was already going to be a circus. You know, I was there at, you know, at Camelback Ranch, you know, covering the Dodgers a little bit this spring, and it was already very crowded, very intense, you know, a ton of attention, and now you take a player who was already an international superstar and merited so much attention, and you throw a national scandal on top of that. Yeah, it's going to be a significant sort of, I tend to downplay like media, not downplay, but I just kind of disregard like, you know, media related controversies. Like, oh, there's all these reporters here, you know, it's a distraction. Now these guys are professionals, right? Like they tend to be good at blocking out the noise, but this is a level of noise that's a bit different than just, you know, a bunch more reporters there asking you about, you know, going 1-for-4 instead of 3-for-4. It's, I think it's going to be, you know, a bit more of a challenge than it would have been just in a normal season. And but, you know, it's the timeline of how quickly this will move, how much information will come out at, you know, at what pace. So it's just hard to know right now because it's somewhat of a bit of an unprecedented situation.
Well, how soon? Last one for you, Andy. How soon do you think until a certain 82-year-old resident of, I believe, Las Vegas, Nevada, who once upon a time resided in Cincinnati, Ohio, raises his head and comments. Where is Peter Edward Rose in this whole situation, Andy? Because
I suspect you could find him. I mean, if you just reached out to his people, I'm sure he'd be happy to come on the show.
I you know, that's an interesting thought. But don't you think he's got some thoughts?
And
even though mm-hmm. it's patently unfair to say that this is exactly what Otani has done, but there's so many unanswered questions, and, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. When yeah. is he going to pop up? You know,
give it time. It's like, it's not Groundhog's Day, 'cause that doesn't always happen. I don't know. I think it is interesting, you know, that this story occurs as Major League Baseball, along with so many other sports leagues, just become more entangled in the world of gambling and accepting money from bookmakers and things like that to, you know, having sponsorships. And you turn on a television and you see all these ads. I mean, we're a while, you know, my phone is just lit up constantly with ads for, you know, betting on stuff. And I don't, you know, I play poker, but I don't like sports bet. And so I'm just getting flooded. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it's a really it's a bit of a slippery slope, you know, and you're starting to see some of the ramifications of it, you know, in that you can see how, like, even folks who have, you know, access to significant income or, you know, can get enmeshed in it.
Andy McCulloch, before I let you go, tell me about your book coming out in May about Kershaw and how much time you spent on it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
So it's a book about Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers pitcher. It'll be out May 7th. I've spent past couple years working on it. I was the Dodgers beat writer for the Los Angeles Times for several years. And so that sort of forms kind of the, you know, how I initially got to know Kershaw. I just thought that he was a player who in this era, there really was, you know, someone worth exploring in a full scale biography in the way that, you know, he was the central figure of postseason baseball for about a decade, you know, sort of his quest to try and win a championship was the animating question of every postseason basically. It's like, is this the year that he can do it? And I thought just sort of charting, you know, getting to talk to him about that process, about, you know, what it has been like sort of operating under the pressure that he has operated on really for the last 20 years of his life, was worth, you know, exploring. He was, you know, generous with his time. We talked a bunch over the last, you know, couple years for it. And so I'm excited for folks to read it. You know, it's been a long process, but we're getting close to, you know, coming out. And so I'm looking forward to, for people to get a chance to read.
Well, that's coming out on May 7th. And again, I guess I should have reached out beforehand before the book's already probably in print and getting ready to come out. But had we spoken earlier, I would have told you to look into, to see if it's true, if Clayton Kershaw played on the same high school as Matthew Stafford. I heard that. maybe you want to run that one down, Andy, for the paperback. You know,
yeah. Matthew Stafford once got an almost concussion on Clayton Kershaw's trampoline.
So. Oh, now there you go. Look at you advancing the story.
There you go.
I had no idea. Did he have a
breaking
blue,
news?
Was there a blue tent in the backyard for him to get checked out in?
I was told that he toughed it out.
An independent observer that sat him down for a couple of bounces. Okay.
yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Andy.
Maybe that was his first concussion.
There
Thanks
you go.
For having me.
Appreciate
guys.
Your time, sir. Appreciate your time. That's Andy McCulloch of The Athletic right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, get his book, The Last of His Kind, a biography on Clayton Kershaw, available on May 7th. So there's all of that. All right, we've got two NCAA men's tournament games up and at them, and we'll talk about that. Set up the final couple of hours of this show. There's a pro day going on. You know there's a pro day going on? Handful of them, but there's one in particular I'm interested in, and so is the rest of the National Football League, it seems. That's coming up.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Sometimes Twitter's still good for something, or X or whatever.
Every once in a while.
And because you just go and see the reactions to things, and it is still on occasion a good news gathering site, and it is where you find also something that will just make you laugh out loud. And I'm sorry, Kentucky fans, Rex, and all of our other Kentucky friends, but this one is A+. From the host of the Memphis Grizzlies, Jessica Benson tweeted out, "Big month for UK disappearing acts. Kate Middleton and John Calipari."
That is just so harsh.
That is what's called next level A++. I mean, there's not enough pluses. Can't plus it up enough.
It's funny.
Could TJ plus it?
Oh, you could. That'd make it even funnier. That is, of course, the left being the photoshopped, the infamously photoshopped. What is going on with Kate Middleton? What is happening?
Oh, it's insane.
Nobody knows where she is.
And there was that video where she was apparently out shopping.
That was not her.
That was not her.
Definitely not her.
No, it was not her.
That was a stand-in.
Not her. Look at us.
Not
spilling
even
tea. I mean, right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
huh?
I mean, I don't know. I
dishing.
Know.
We're dishing. Are we know. Officially dishing?
Are we dishing?
Are we dishing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that is
RMZ.
That is
RMZ.
UK disappearing acts.
R-E-M-Z.
Wow. That I saw that. I'm like, that I gotta retweet that one.
That was a good one.
That wound up in my timeline.
Yeah, that's funny.
Ooh. I'm sorry.
I mean,
Kentucky Wildcat fans, man. I'm sorry about that. You're not?
No. Out of all the teams I do like, they're one that I don't.
Yeah. They're my only Sweet 16 team out so far.
Ooh, good job, Rich.
Champion.
You're
champion.
Wow.
Out.
Sorry, Kyle.
Brockman would have been
back on the Rich Eisen show. We're here hanging out, having a good time. All right. Updating some games that are happening right now in NCAA tournament action. My other alma mater, Northwestern, graduate degree from the Medill School of Journalism. Yes, I am one degree shy of being Dr. Television.
Ooh.
Oh.
Florida Atlantic, last year's Cinderella, is up by just a bucket, 14-12, 6-minute mark of the first half. And Baylor is up by 7 on Colgate. That's just tipped off there. That's your March Madness update. How'd I do?
Well done. I didn't, ESPN now has a perfect bracket tracker.
I told you, Cooper is monitoring that.
Yeah, I didn't realize this is a thing. This is cool.
He's monitoring this as we were at Taylor's All-Star Game semifinal last night. She won that one.
Nice.
And her team won that one. I've got an early morning Saturday championship game that I'm attending. It's her third championship game of her young career of the last 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah. She's 1-1 in championship games.
Taylor Ionescu.
Taylor Ionescu. Well, Taylor Clark, we can go that way too, because she's going to play the game, then we'll go home. Noon tip off of Caitlin Clark's first round matchup on ABC. 3 Eastern, noon Pacific.
Taylor's still out there shooting away?
She's shooting. She's dishing. She's doing everything. She's a glue gal.
Nice.
That's what she is. She does all of that. While I'm just crowing, listen, it's kind of funny, you know, that I forget it from time to time, but there's a big pro day today at the University of Michigan, and I cannot believe it still just blows my mind that they're national champions in college football. I still can't believe that happened. I still just, even being at the combine where there were 18 Michigan Wolverines, and I know the draft is going to be in Detroit, for crying out loud. I still can't believe it. 150 scouts and coaches apparently descending upon Schembechler Hall. And you've been there, Chris. There's enough room for everybody.
It's big.
There's enough room for everybody in that indoor facility.
Giant.
150 plus are coming to see, including your Los Angeles Chargers head coach, Jim Harbaugh, is going to be there.
He's familiar.
Yeah, he knows his
way. He's going to be there. I'm just wondering if he's going to stop by not just the old haunt, you know, his old office, see how Sharon Moore's changed the place up a little bit. And then perhaps once he's done with that, he'll go down the street and check on the proceeds of the garage sale. Is that what he's going to check on?
Maybe. See if anybody paid.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Did anybody, you know, buy the lava lamp?
The sewing machine?
Did anybody pick up the lava lamp? You know what? I should find out. We should find out. Wouldn't you want to buy, right behind the sewing machine, a Jim Harbaugh lava lamp for the studio would be a perfect addition, don't you think?
Oh, would it
like, what would, out of everybody on the screen, out of anything on the screen, what would you want to have in this studio more than anything else?
I want the thermos.
I don't know. That might not be for sale, dude. That might just be somebody who just put it down while they were browsing. Down,
yeah. You know,
it's on the table. True. You know, it's fair.
That's right. That's right. I saw that in Toy Story.
I want to know who bought that Michigan football T-shirt back there.
It looked like somebody was holding it, or
was it just to see, you know, touching the material, seeing if what's the right size.
I think
size.
The lava lamp is perfect just for what we got going on in here.
In here,
yeah, we have a lot. It matches our aesthetic. We have a lot of stuff around here. A lot of knickknacks. A lot of
how do we make sure we do that.
I'm sure it's gone. I think that picture's a week old.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Did he just start giving stuff?
In the back there. There it is.
Like the snow globes. If no one took them, did you just start giving them away?
If you bought that lava lamp, call us.
Yeah, that's true. A snow globe would be cool,
too. Is that a toaster? Is that a toaster?
Yes. Yeah. It looks like it right there.
It looks like in the front middle. Yeah, it looks like it.
That's a toaster.
I like that little candle holder thing.
What's that thing?
That's a candle holder?
Yep.
What's the thing that looks like a G?
I saw that too.
It's interesting.
I don't know.
Is it like a Google charger thing or something?
Is it a charger?
Oh, you know, it might be a like a home AI
charging thing?
Yeah. A little portable printer, I think, is in that box.
I wonder what those
right? But we're zooming in. I like the zoom in. Thanks, guys. Yep. Appreciate it. There's like a glass urn on the ground.
An urn.
I don't know what that is.
No, I think that's a thermos.
It's like a pouring cup.
Thermos.
That's just a
pitcher.
Mike, you think Thriller is in those records?
That's an iron. Right. There's an iron on the right side. That's an iron.
Oh, yes. Sitting right here. Yes. Rich, good.
That's an iron, you know, because you got to iron things out.
What's behind the white thing that's like sitting near the snow globes?
I don't know.
That little like.
But that lava lamp, we should get it.
Yeah. Like I said, text if you bought it, call in.
Do I ask Blake Corum how to, you know?
Why don't you just text Jim?
Hey, see if he's got the lava.
Can I get a price on the lava lamp?
I don't know if he's changed his phone number yet.
There's no way.
Why would he? Yeah.
All right, am I going to text him right now?
Yeah.
He's got too many people.
Hey, Jim, congrats on the garage sale.
Just wondering.
Just checking to see.
Hold on a minute.
Lava lamp's still available.
Hey, Jim. Sorry to bother, right?
Sorry to bother. I know you're in Ann Arbor for the bother. Pro Day. Congrats.
I know you're...
But...
You're back at the ranch.
Yeah.
For Pro Day, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I'm on the air right now, right?
We are.
Yep. But we're on the air right
we're
now.
We're on the air.
I got to say I'm on the air. I don't mean to leave you out.
No, no. I mean, I was confirming that, yes, you are.
But I'm on the air right now. And seeing your... right now and seeing a photo of your garage sale.
Yeah. Wondering how the garage sale went.
Of your garage sale.
Curious if the lava lamp still for sale.
Okay. Right now. And curious. Let me talk to Texas. And curious to see if the lava lamp is still for sale.
Yeah.
It's still available.
Yeah.
And available.
Yeah.
Period. Hope you're well. Go blue and go Bolts.
There you go.
Right?
Bolt up.
Oh, why do they spell that as gets? I don't know what that is. Okay, and send. Done.
Great.
Okay.
Hold on.
We'll see how that works out.
All right, great. I bet he gets back to you.
You think so?
Yeah.
Or it's not his number anymore, and this is a total waste of time. Oh, wait a minute. I'm still talking to text. Wait a minute.
I hate it when that happens.
Gotta stop it. It's dangerous. This is dangerous.
Should people change their number when they move? Because, like, you and I still have our East Coast numbers.
I don't know. This could have been a Michigan-issued phone, and now you don't think the Chargers are giving him a phone? You don't think so?
I mean, that didn't work out well for Tom Brady.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
You guys.
Okay. Let me make sure I didn't just send him the... Okay, very good.
He might be moving. I mean, if he had the garage sale last week, he might get...
He's at Ann Arbor right now.
He's there dude. Like, he's no doubt, like, checking out J.J. McCarthy spinning.
You don't know.
Blake Corum's on in an hour. Well, that's the one.
Is running routes for McCarthy right now.
Love it.
Love it. Boom.
By the way, I can't say his name is Blake. His name is Balake.
Always and forever.
Go blue and Balake. Go Bolts, right?
Bolt up.
I didn't hit send. I had not hit send, and it was still talking to text.
I mean, Rich.
Oh, goodness.
All right, I'm on the air right now and seeing a photo of your garage sale.
Still going.
This is amazing.
And it says, and talk to text. Got to get rid of that.
Yep.
And curious to see if the lava lamp is still for sale and available. Hope you're well and okay. Go blue and go Bolts.
There you go. Nice. All right, send.
And available, because I want it for my studio, right?
Right. Sure, add that. Yeah. That's true. He might just send it to
for
you.
For sure.
I don't want... No, please.
We'll give him something,
way.
Right? We got it. Yeah, we got
that's from Curb.
Hold on. How much is a lava lamp
Remember,
cost?
Vince Vaughn just gave JB the jacket.
Mm-hmm. It's sent. And it's blue, by the way. Wouldn't it go green if it was a different number?
No, green would have been Android phone.
No, I understand. Well,
yeah.
That's why the DOJ is suing him, right? We'll see. All right, there you go.
Lava lamp costs about $35.
Jack Golke's coming up, baby.
Let's go. From way downtown, bang.
Bang!
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.